Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
As we celebrate National Entrepreneurship Month, I think it's an opportunity to reflect on the messy, often unpredictable, and often misunderstood early stages of building a business from the get-go. Early stage entrepreneurship is often plagued with difficulties, navigating blind spots, grappling with failure, and then pivoting to success. And tonight I want to look at this crucial phase of the entrepreneurial journey and look at some of the lessons that it holds for founders and probably mentors alike. And I'm in conversation now with Mitchin Adams, who's an experienced entrepreneur. And you're going to hear from him that he is someone that has weathered these challenges firsthand. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're building a business, take a listen to this interview. It should provide you with some very valuable intelligence. Mitchin, good evening to you. So you talk about the early stages of entrepreneurship described as a dark art. What does this mean, and particularly for people who are starting out?
Oh, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me, and good evening to all your listeners. It's a dark art. Why? Because there's just too much unknown in there. There's a phrase that constantly gets said amongst people that advise early startups and within startups themselves, which is you don't know what you don't know. And that goes to your customers, that goes to your product itself, that goes to building your team, that goes to the changes that you go through as a person, that passion that's supposed to be driving everything as the main reason why you're doing this, that could change as you're growing. So it's an extremely dark art. And I mean, the most easiest example I can use is valuation. Valuation in general, in the VC world, they look at your revenue or they look at EBITDA, and then they calculate something out of that and use a multiple for the industry. Where you don't have proper revenue to speak of just yet, it's very difficult to calculate a valuation, but people will tell you the valuation of their business is at $5 million. And that's on perceived revenue of what they see coming based on what they're building. But while they need money to start it up to get to where they're going, and so they need a valuation to work off of. So how do you calculate that value? How much you're giving and what are you getting in return for that?
Mitchin, let me preface this next question by saying you're talking to someone here who has never built a business in his life, and at my age I probably won't. But surely that sort of almost blind naivety in one way is almost a buffer or a shield. It might be a good thing because you don't know what you need to be afraid of.
Yes. 100%. It is a buffer, it's a bliss, but you need a sober mind when you go into business, because then you're going to learn some hard, hard lessons. And also don't write yourself off. Colonel Sanders started his business in his 70s, so there's still some hope for you. I think this is the importance of incubators, accelerators, and venture builders alike. People that have been there before, there is some sort of science behind it. There's a guy called Jason Goldberg. He started up Edge Growth. He just released a book called The Art of Scale. And there he speaks about a science, a tried and tested science of what you can do right in the beginning, and then how you have to adjust that for all the different phases of your business. So if you're just going to go at it on your own, you are completely blinded by, I have this great idea and it's going to work and customers are going to buy it. Mm. You will speak about it to your friends and your family and they will love it and they will support you, but they will be the last ones to keep your business sustainable. It's strangers out there that you need to convince that this business and this product and this service is something that they want. And in order to test that, you need to be really, really, really honest with yourself. And the only way to get that subjective view is to bring in a mentor, to bring in a coach, or get part of some sort of a program that helps you see all the blind sides that you're not seeing.
What makes a good mentor?
A good mentor is very relatable, I think. A good mentor asks questions. It's just like going to a GP, and I do have my own feelings about GPs. When you go there and you're sick, they ask you what's wrong with you.
Yes.
And you tell them what's wrong with you, and then they give you a script based on what you told them. They don't actually analyze you like a physician would. So a good mentor will take your answers, because you're going to try and put your best foot forward and carry on like you're the greatest entrepreneur in the world and your business is great and it's destined for greatness. But a mentor sits there, listens, sees through the facade and asks the relevant questions that's going to force you to be honest about certain things. And in getting that out and extracting that information from you, giving back the feedback to you in a manner that's constructive and not demeaning, and makes you feel that you are not destined for greatness. The person still has to encourage you, but the person has to be hard and honest with you about it and also drive results.
One of the other words you've just used, which I think is really important in this process, and that's the word adjustment. So on the entrepreneurial journey, it's critical to be able to adjust and to pivot all the time, depending on what difficulties you are facing. I would suggest that that is also one of the attributes that many people are afraid of, is that they get into the zone, into the channel, and they keep going in the direction, hoping something will change, and they don't have the courage to move and move quickly.
That is 100% correct. And that's also the curse of a startup. A startup needs to move fast and be quick and nimble and agile. But with that, if you do get success, you then become slow and unagile and unnimble, and that's the curse of success. So you have to adjust to that. Now, I refer to something called the ervert, which is the early pivot. No idea that you come up with right in the beginning when you're creating your business is going to be the successful business that you're hoping to achieve. You're going to have to pivot that idea at some point because you're going into a market that you don't really know. I find a lot of people that live in affluency that's creating stuff for the townships. They don't know the townships. They don't understand how it would work there. And guys in townships making stuff for the townships but can't scale it out of there, and it stays very local. So it really requires a lot of pivoting. But you don't want to pivot too much, because then that just becomes straw grabbing. And you need to always stick to your core. Because the moment you move away from your core, then you're just starting a brand new business. You're killing one business and starting another business. You're just trying to find something that's still around the idea, the original idea that you came up with, and you're just fine-tuning it to a point where it becomes extremely clear. It's no longer a guessing game. It's just extremely clear that this is the way I need to go. And with everything else, while you're pivoting, you need to fail as fast as possible and adjust and start doing the new thing immediately. Fail, learn from that lesson, and carry on. You can't dwell on this failure, and you can't constantly keep flogging a dead horse. You need to know when to write it off.
That is an abundance of good advice. And Mitch and Adams, I'm going to suggest that you and I have a conversation about entrepreneurship again in 2025, because some very, very valuable advice. And thank you so much for joining me on Hot 1027 Business tonight. I appreciate it.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.